thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Amy. That was a brilliant, frightening presentation. I need to read it because your language is so complex, even as an Irishman, I can't handle it. James Joyce would have been probably easier. No, that's unkind. But it was greatly appreciated. And I like Jim Loeb. I thought we were here to look at consider inquiring into the thinking of the neocons of the PNAC. You scared me by introducing this new liberal hawk concept, which I knew about but didn't think of it that way. And I've read the initiative several times. What you say is really frightening. It's sort of, they're more insidious and more dangerous than those maniacs who are running Washington today. We can identify them.
Right.
You've raised a whole new breed, which are much more tricky. And to my colleague on his desk, he says he's been suffered from intervention for 500 years. I'm Irish. We've had at least 800 years. And I think the first crusade before Mr. Bush's new crusade was 1,000 years ago. I think you're being a little kind to the Westerners who've been interfering everywhere for a long time. But I have three little questions. Why not? Maybe I turned around and looked the other direction. I apologize. I was just commenting that 500 years of intervention was a very modest statement because, say, not Mr. Bush's current crusade, but the first ones were 1,000 years ago. And those of us who are Irish have been suffering from intervention for, we claim, 800 years. But I wanted to ask three little questions. One is, when you talk about human rights, or the liberal hawks talk about human rights, can I assume, to my unending frustration, that this is a typical, mainly North American, obsession with civil and political rights for the other parts of the world who haven't yet got the benefits of fundamental human rights, social, economic and cultural. Now, I know in the United States they're also not big on social rights. I mean, Sarah mentioned 40 million Americans without health insurance, but you know, we know they're suffering in the States also, never mind racism and all the other horrors of some parts of the United States. But, you know, this obsession with civil and political rights for those who haven't yet enjoyed the more fundamental is frustrating. So that's one question. Is that the way they see it? Secondly, you've given me, I think, a name after all these years for my former boss, Kofi Annan. I never could quite pin him down. And you remember in the 2000 General Assembly, that special session, he introduced humanitarian intervention. I often wondered whether it was his own idea or was he doing it for somebody else. But regardless, he got into this thing. He didn't do very well, as I recall. But I think what you've given me now is a new insight that he really is a liberal hawk. That's perhaps where he belongs. When you spoke about Lex Americana, I'd like your endorsement of that or otherwise. And lastly, Lex Americana, this is a better way of putting it than Pax Americana, perhaps. And this is a frightening alternative, I think, to the rule of international law, which we've seen abused, corrupted by the United States and others in the Security Council, in a very corrupt Security Council, which suffers from 1945 manipulations. It's an old story. But how do we deal? How would you advise us to deal with Lex Americana and restore the real value and rule of international law, which is much greater and includes the Declaration of Human Rights in its full form, social, cultural, political, all components, but also the Geneva Conventions, and of course the very basic elements of the Charter, the preamble of Articles 1 and 2, which are so fundamentally important for all of these issues. How do we convince Washington and those who run Washington today and those who run Washington tomorrow? You've already heard from friends here. Mr. Kerry may be very subtly different. How do we get Washington to understand that the rule of international law is really the fundamental, in the fundamental best interest of the United States itself?